since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1245. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me for this episode of GTR, we have Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
Hey, I love how you just rolled right into it. We're syncing, recording, and next thing I know, welcome to Gamertag Radio.
Yo, I'm not wasting no time. We gotta get ready for Dice. Dice is gonna be fun to do this week, man. And we're also going to a Riot event.
Hey, why are you putting my personal business out there? You love doing this.
I'm going to be there too. It's my business.
What if I didn't want nobody to know I was going? Why don't you say you were going? Why you got to say I'm going?
You know what? Whatever I do is going out there. You signed the papers. So no, that's it. It's all good. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of GTR. And make sure to go right now to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to give us a follow, subscribe, and more importantly, post a review. It will help us to get discovered. So we need your support. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion or you want to send us feedback about this or previous episodes, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so first of all, Paris, we have to talk about the opportunity we received from Sony PlayStation. They sent us both. Well, you got it first, but it sent us a PlayStation VR 2. And we've been very vocal about VR for like the past couple years. I've been more of the side of, man, I don't know, it's not ready yet. I usually will go to an event and I'll play a game and I get dizzy, motion sickness, you know. And also, I think I experienced one time since the release of VR from the PlayStation. I only got a chance to play it at my brother's house because a friend of his lended a VR headset. And I got to play it once. And that's how I discovered Thumper years ago. And ever since then, I've been addicted to to Thumper, which I'm also going to be playing it a lot more for this version for the PSVR too, man. So I know for you, you never experienced this at home, right? Only has been at events like me, right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, for me, it's been a thing of a couple different times I've done VR at like an E3 or, you know, some other kind of gaming event. Excuse me. And it's always just been like, you know, a very short experience, like basically a glorified tech demo. Nothing where like you're saying, I'm at home where I get to sit down for hours at a time and truly immerse myself into VR. So, you know, like my whole story that I've talked about a few times here on the show is I was going to get the Valve Index in 2020 with Half-Life Alyx. I had always told myself I wasn't going to really invest into, you know, the initial VR hardware, the 1.0 hardware. I was going to wait until 2.0 hardware started to come out. And the Valve Index was one of the first of that. And obviously with Half-Life Alyx, everyone, you know, saying that it was such an amazing experience. I was like, you know what? I'm going to invest in it. I'll do it. Then the pandemic happened. I was like, let me save my money. So I didn't do it. So I basically waited. And then when I heard that PlayStation was coming out with their VR 2, I was like, you know what? This might be the one to invest in. So let's see what the specs on this is going to look like. Let's see what it's going to be. So I had actually go ahead and I pre-ordered it. You know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Screw it. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to invest in it. And, do PlayStation VR 2. And then obviously PlayStation provided this opportunity for us, you know, to review it. So I did cancel my pre-order and obviously got the unit, you know, what was it, about a good week? And I guess by the time the actual unit is out, I've had it for about a good 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, I've had it for now, right now, for about, you know, a little over a week and a half, being able to go through some of the initial launch lineup and obviously, you know, have that first experience with VR hardware. I've been impressed. I'm pretty impressed with it. It's exceeded my initial expectation for what VR was going to be, because playing a game like Horizon Call of the Mountain or going into Star Wars, Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, I believe that's the exact title, or playing something like Tentacular, where I just feel immersed into those worlds that I'm in. Horizon Call of the Mountain, as an example, is easily the most visually impressive VR game that I've had a chance to play, but I love the immersion of it. You know, I have big hands, so the controls, I've kind of fumbled around with button placement a little bit, but, you know, I've gotten better at it. I've gotten used to it. Like even last night, I was sitting there playing Tentacular, you know, just now it's clicking for me, where I get it. I know where everything is. I know how to take advantage of everything that the headset does. But to have that OLED 4K display, 120 hertz, extremely impressive. I was initially surprised at how light the headset is. I was expecting it to be a lot heavier. I was like, oh, wow, this is really light. So I don't get fatigue with extended gameplay sessions, like having it on my head, you know what I mean? So it's very comfortable for me. I again, my first real experience with VR, so I have nothing to compare it to. So I don't know if there's anything that's better or worse, but for this being my first real VR experience, VR2 has been pretty impressive for me. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the price point and everything, you know, basically it's $550 to get the hardware and you have to already have a PlayStation 5 to be able to use it. But I mean, if you can afford it, if the price of entry isn't a barrier for you, I would definitely recommend getting one for sure. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of Horizon Call of the Mountain, I think it's okay. It's for all intents and purposes more of a glorified tech demo to kind of show you what VR can do, you know, in the world of Horizon. There's a lot of freaking, when they call it Call of the Mountain, this is for a reason, because you're gonna be doing a lot of crimes yes. when you're in that game. But yeah. it's solid for what it is. I would actually recommend picking it up as a companion piece to kind of show you what the latest and greatest from a visual fidelity standpoint looks like for VR2. Because I was also in the kind of funny review. I kind of wish they would have done an Astro's, like they did Astro's Playroom, you know, for PlayStation 5 at launch. I wish they would have done something similar here, you know, for the VR2 launch, again, to kind of showcase all the technical capabilities of what VR can do. I thought that would have been a good companion piece to it. I am still shocked that PlayStation and Valve hadn't figured out Half-Life Alyx being available at launch. I do believe Half-Life Alyx will come to VR2. I just would be shocked if it did not. But I'm surprised that there's not been any kind of official announcement that it's coming, that it wasn't available at launch. That's surprising to me. And I know I'm talking a lot, Dan. I'm going to let you get it real quick.
Nah, it's all good.
You know, because some people have seen some of the games that we played, you know, right now, you know, in this early review period. There's weird embargoes that are going on right now, so I'm trying to be careful of what I'm talking about. So that's why I feel like Tentacular has been my favorite game to play in VR for sure. It is literally Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is going to the land of make-believe for me. I love it. I think being a built-from-the-ground-up VR game, it hits on everything that you should expect from VR, in my personal opinion. It's a game that's already been available. It's not brand new to the VR2. It's already been out on, you know, on other VR platforms. Again, playing Horizon Call of the Mountain's been one of the Star Wars game, as I already mentioned, Tetris Effect, Rez as well. Again, all great. I'm loving being able to play it. Now, a couple games I have not had a chance to play yet because simply the updates are not available. Resident Evil 8, that VR update's not available. I believe it will be available at launch or shortly after. Gran Turismo 7, same thing. And No Man's Sky. I know No Man's Sky, they told me that should be available right at launch. So there's still games to experience that I want to check out and see in VR. So I know this is kind of our initial conversation about it. I know I've talked a lot here, but I know sure. we'll have more in the future. So sorry, that was long-winded to me, but please go.
It's all good. It's all good. Now, and here's the thing. And I'm going to start up with, you know, me as a person that I get really motion sickness, like even riding roller coasters, ride and stuff like that, right? So I was, I'm not gonna lie, Paris, I was very nervous on playing this for the first time at home. You know, so let me talk about my experience, how everything started. So I have everything connected. By the way, the connection, this is super easy to do. Just one USB, connect that to the console, and that's it. It's not like...
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. And I didn't mean to cut you off, because I think this is an important thing to bring up, because I've seen varying reviews and varying opinions on this. Again, me personally, this is my first time using VR. The one cable plugged into the PS5 has not bothered me at all. Honestly, it's been a non-factor. I've seen a lot of people, well, it should be wireless. Why isn't it wireless? Why do we have a cable? I mean, it seems like you're saying, it seems pretty simple to me. Just plugging in and I've been playing fine. So I'm just curious your thoughts on that too.
I think it's fine for me. I think there was time, depending on the game, there was time that I was very aware that there was a cable behind me. So I was being really careful on certain things. I was afraid of tripping or dropping the console. That was the only thing, you know? So, but overall I got used to it and I was fine, you know? So but I get where people are coming from, but I honestly prefer this. I don't want to be worried of like, oh my God, my VR headset, the battery's dying. Oh, let me, you know, I don't want to go through that. So I think by doing this like this, just having it connected to USB, I think it's fine.
Yeah. And part of it with me, and again, I'm not speaking from vast VR experience, but it just seems logical to me. You can't tell me you're going to get the visuals that you're getting right now if it was a wireless headset. I don't believe that. And to your point, having to deal with battery life, all that, to me, look, I'm perfectly fine having the cable in. Yes, I'm aware it's around me, but it has not impeded me in any game that I've played yet, sitting down or standing up.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let me talk about like my experience. So I set it up and everything, and I love the way how you can set it up. You put the VR headset on, and you actually see the room of the place that you're actually playing your device. And you could also set it up in a way where it tells you to look around, and I'm even including the ceiling. So I'm looking around, I see some, you know, the couches, the wall, getting like the graphics and everything. And then once you're done, it also, you can also delete the area where you don't want to go. So let's say there is a chair and like close to you. You could delete that area from the scanner that you scan, and it will tell you when you're playing a game. You will see like a red marker, meaning that you're getting close to an object that you might hit with or you might trip. So it warns you. So I was like, oh man, this is pretty cool. So once I set everything up, I personally feel, Paris, I think you're right. I love that. Once you have everything set up, you know, they show the PlayStation 5 VR logo, all that stuff, and then you see the menu. But I wish it was like an area where here's some tech demos where you could try out the VR, things that you could do, especially when we got the PlayStation 5 for the first time and we played the Astro demo game. Like, you could tell that was the perfect game to learn the features of the PlayStation 5, even the DualSense controller, you know, that type of thing. So, but... besides that, I totally get where you're coming from. I wish they had that in there. But so I have a couple games. I have the Horizon game, Star Wars, Rez, Texas Effect Connected, and a couple other ones. And there's one which I'm going to talk about that I'm super, super curious and excited to try it out in the future once it comes out. But anyways, so I tried out Horizon in Paris. I'm going to keep it real. I wasn't sick. I didn't get motion sickness at all playing this game. I'm going to keep it real. I was so worried about that. And I was playing for hours, and I've never got sick playing that game. And it's true. Like, it felt like I was part of that world playing it. The graphics looks amazing. Now, about the climbing the mountains and all that stuff. Yes, that was very tiring, but I honestly felt like I had a great time playing that game. And there's of course some moments where you use your bow and your arrows to attack the enemies and everything like that. But I had a great time, honestly. I've been enjoying it, and I'm still going to continue to playing this nonstop. So there's another one too that I play a lot, was the Star Wars VR game. And on that one, the first couple hours of the game is just tutorials, like takes a long time. But after that, that's when the fun begins. Like, but I feel like, again, I felt like I was part of the experience. I was there. Paris, I woke up early in the morning, like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, you know what? Let me try the VR by myself. That's no, you know, Ree's not around. I don't want to bother her or anything like that. Right. So I started playing it. And bro, I felt like I was in the game. Like, I totally forgot about the outside world after a couple of hours, man. You know, so, but yeah, I, you know, reading the reviews from everybody, I get where everybody is coming from. But again, you and me, we're like in the same page when it comes to like, we're doing this as, we're reviewing this for the first time as first timers or VR owners, right? And I feel like this was an amazing experience. I've never experienced something like this ever. And for a console, it looks freaking good. Like the graphics for like the Horizon and the Star Wars game and everything like that. So, but there's one game that I really, really want to try out when it comes out, because I love horror games, and that's Switchback VR. It's from the developers that worked on The Quarry and other horror games. It's from Supermassive and Supermassive Games, and they're awesome, man. I honestly can't wait to try this out. I think it's coming out March 16th. Yes, March 16th is coming out. So it's part of the launch window for VR2. But I don't know if you've seen the trailer or anything like that, Paris.
I have.
But the part that I'm excited about, because in the game, which we definitely want to talk about your experience about this, it tracks your eye, because that's one of the features that's in the VR2, where when you're setting up your VR headset, it will tell you to look at certain dots. And I did that just using my eyes, and I'm like, this is wild. I've never seen this before. So how was your experience using that for the first time, the eye tracking?
Oh, it was fantastic. Like Horizon Call of the Mountain, you know, really takes advantage of that in a great way. And it's trippy. It's trippy.
It is trippy.
Where you literally just look at something and all of a sudden it goes to that. I was like, oh, wow. So I was pretty impressed by that. It really was.
Yeah. That was really cool. Very cool. Yeah. So I think that's the part that I'm excited about Paris as a horror fan. You know, you're scared, you're looking around, and the experience changes based on where you look. Because, you know, if you're very scared, you're going to close your eyes, like, you know, all this stuff. So, but another thing I have to mention, I wanted Ree to try out Horizon for the first time, VR. You know, she also had, actually, she has the first VR headset. I was like, look, try this out. And she was bugged out. Like, she was like, I didn't know you could actually walk in this game like this, look around and all this stuff. And she was also afraid of like certain parts of the game because of the it felt like you were like in a mountain, you know, afraid of heights and all this stuff. And she was freaked out when it comes to that. So
yeah,
that was really, really cool. Really, really cool. So was there anybody from your family that tried out for the first time? How was their experience? Because she had an amazing time.
Yeah, mostly my son. One of my daughters tried it briefly, but my son is hell, he might have been played more than me at this point. But yeah, he's played pretty extensively, you know, playing on Horizon, all the different games, you know, we've had access to. And it's funny, I don't get motion sick, so I've not had any issues with that at all. He did initially, like the first time he did it, I think he was playing Star Wars. And he mentioned like, oh, he felt kind of motion sick. But after the first day, he kind of adjusted to it and he's been fine with it. But he's really enjoyed it as well. Like to your point, I mean, it's such an immersive experience being in VR. And he's made similar comments where you're feeling like you're just transported into those worlds that you're in. And you have no sense of anything outside of what's going on in that helmet at the time. And again, excuse my VR ignorance, but I guess VR2 is also very impressive when it comes to light leak, where, you know, outside lights coming into what you're saying. Because, I mean, bro, nothing. Absolutely nothing when I put that headset on. It's like I only see what's, you know, through those goggles and nothing else. So I've been pretty impressed by it. And, you know, like I said, my son has been as well.
Yeah. And also I have to bring up, because my wife, she has she wore glasses and she put this on and it was very comfortable. I think the way how it was designed, it was also for people that have glasses and they mm-hmm. can still have the same experience and play all these games, which I think is very important, because usually when you wear VR, some people, a real headset, some people need to have a certain design from the glasses just to play VR,
right?
Or not play at all. So for her, she had a great time. And I think, you know, as a first-time owner of VR, I've been having a blast. I know this is like early stage of the product where, you know, we got the games. There's a lot of games that's going to add some VR features, but I'm excited more of like original content in the future from the first party and also from third party or indie that is just for the VR. And that's not like an add-on. Like those are the games that I really want to play for the first time in the future. You know, don't get me wrong, Resident Evil and Gran Turismo, all that stuff, like it's cool. Like I'm excited, but like seeing games like Horizon, you know, that type of stuff, that's just strictly for VR and no feature, like switchback VR. That's the one I'm excited.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thing. I've talked about this in some other impressions I've put out already. That all this stuff is great for launch window. Don't get me wrong. Especially being new to VR, it's all brand new to me. But eventually, once we get to month 6, year 1, year 2, year 3 of this, I want to see from the ground up VR experiences, both first party, obviously from PlayStation, and obviously from other third parties as well. That's the thing that excites me about it. And that's why I say Tentacular is like my favorite game that I've played so far, because it is built from the ground up for VR. It is a game made to take advantage of VR versus being something that's ported into VR, right? So like I said, yeah. I'll check out GT7, I'll check out Resident Evil 8, I'll give my opinions on them, you know, when that becomes available. But I want to see brand new VR experiences, even if it, you know, established franchises are fine, like we're saying Horizon, things like that. But yeah, that's what I want. Again, this is why I keep going back to Half-Life Alyx. I wish it was on this VR too, because everybody says that is the gold standard right now for a AAA experience in VR. It is Half-Life Alyx. So I do want to play that at some point. So to the point where, look, if PlayStation and Valve don't come to some kind of agreement, I got to figure out something, because I do want to play it. And I mean, that game is what, 3 years old now, or going on 3 years old now. I want to play it soon. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's next month or in April around there. That's when it's going to be 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I also have to mention this, like two things. One, I know those people that connected their VR headset to the computer to see what happens. Nothing really happens. It's just, I think in the future, hopefully there's an update where you're allowed to play some PC games through this device. I think that would be cool. But as of right now, it doesn't work. Another thing you could do too is you could also have this headset as your monitor, so you could still play your regular PlayStation games there. You know, if let's say somebody's using the TV, you could at least use this. And or like I think you could also watch like Netflix and other stuff. Like it works like in there. So I don't know if you tried that out, Paris.
Oh yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, I was watching Cowboy Bebop on Netflix on the headset last night, you know, just messing around. I mean, it's cool. The only slight knock, and this actually leads me to something else, but the only slight knock I give it is that screen is static, and is literally like watching a big screen when you're in it doing it, right? But it's static. So if I move my head, the screen doesn't move with me. So you have to press the select button, and then it'll then move to where you are if you want to change head positions. But that'd be my own, and that's just a nitpick more than anything. But that does lead me into audio.
How was your experience with that?
Yeah, it was great. It almost, and you know, I put a couple pictures online, but it almost seems like it's a natural fit for it. Like they obviously took that into consideration with the design of the VR headset. That Pulse 3D, you literally just pop it right on, no issues at all. You don't have, because the stereo headphones that comes with the VR, just put those in a box somewhere. Don't use them. They're not good at all.
But honestly, Paris, like I used the one that I came with it. I don't have the Pulse headset at all. Sorry, I thought you meant like the headset that I actually bring it. I'm like, all right, whatever.
No, that's they okay. suck. They're terrible. <It's> I okay. do not recommend them.
So I don't have the Pulse headset. But using the normal headphones, like I'm fine with it. Like I enjoyed it. It was cool. Like I was, you know, what I did while playing Horizon. I stopped and I just want to hear this sound, like the background and everything in there. I felt like I was inside of the game. But like you were saying, using that headphones makes the experience even better because it sound what, like louder or you said 3D, but how can you describe the experience of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like if you're playing a regular game on a PlayStation 5 that with the 3D audio, you can take full advantage of that in a game like Horizon. Takes advantage of that. So you're getting the full immersive 3D audio experience if you use the Pulse 3D headset. And obviously there's third-party headsets you could probably use as well. Have not tried them, so I don't know how they fit with the VR headset. But my point was the standard PlayStation Pulse 3D audio headset or wireless headset fits perfectly with it. You put the headset on, you can literally pop on those headphones. You don't have to configure anything else or set anything up. It just natively works through your PS5 as it would with any PS5 game. And like I said, it's completely immersive and to the point, like in gaming, it works fine, but even watching something like Netflix with it on as well, mm-hmm. full 3D audio with it. So it's great. But like I said, to me, those stereo headsets that come with it, and you know, and they have the 3.5 millimeter plug, you plug it into the head, you know, the VR headset and everything. The sound, it's not even close. It's just basic sound. That's just to say, hey, you got some sound that you can get versus using your TV speakers. I do not recommend them. Do not recommend them at all.
Well, I have to mention one nitpick for me, and this is for those that are not planning to get the charger for the controllers for this. It only comes with one cable, and you need to charge both controllers. Yes. I think that was a mistake. I think they should have something where, okay, you have another cable to charge your controller.
Well, you know what their argument is going to be. Go buy the charging stand.
Yeah, exactly. But I think having the charging station makes a lot things a lot easier. It takes take a couple hours. I think 30 to an hour, you could leave it there charge, and it will last between 3.5 to 5 hours, depending on it also depends on like the movement, how much you use it, the game and everything like that. So it's I love the controllers. I think the only thing is when you when you have the headset on and let's say you have the straps already connected there to your arm, to your wrist, it's hard and confusing to actually hold the controllers at first. I'm like, how's the position of that? But after a while, you get used to it. But that was the only part that I was like, oh man, I wish there was like an easier way to put this on.
Yeah, like for me, my hands are too big. I can't even use the straps.
Oh, really? You can? Mm. Okay.
Don't, okay. Excuse me, doesn't fit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I use it all the time for me. Because I forgot which game it was. Oh, it was Star Wars. During the tutorial, there was one part that I thought I had to grab a droid and had to like throw it, which I thought I was part of the game and it wasn't because I didn't know what to do. And I was like, man, I can imagine if I don't have this on, I probably would have thrown the controller by mistake when it landed somewhere. So yeah, that was the part I was really, really nervous. But yeah, it was fine after that. But overall, like I'm really enjoying VR2. I think I know the price is probably gonna make a lot of people like just pause and wait and see. Personally, for me, I think, you know, as a PlayStation 5 owner, I think it's a great device. I think it's really cool, much better than the previous one, a lot easier to connect. The games looks cool, and I think I would like to see more of these just exclusive games just for VR, not add-ons. And I think it's going to be an amazing experience, man, late in the future, if it continues to have support, not only from first party, but also from other companies. At the end of the day, you could have a device with all these features, but the most important thing to me is the content. There's no content, that's not worth buying it. But I think for launch, this is great. I think people will enjoy this if they buy it. For you?
Yeah, I definitely recommend this. Like I said, if the price isn't a barrier to entry for you, I highly recommend picking this up. It's made me a believer in VR. It absolutely has. You know, being someone that this is my first real experience with it, I get it now. I understand that, like you're saying, there needs, we will see down the road what the support looks like, you know, from a game standpoint. But, you know, as long as the games come, I'm there. I'm excited to see more. So really looking forward to seeing what the future holds for VR.
Yeah, same here. Now, another thing that I would like to talk about, Paris, is Razer. They sent me the new Razer Edge 5G, which has a Verizon built in. You could also play this on the go and everything. And Paris, I am not exaggerating. This is the truth. I think this is the best Android gaming device like this that I have ever seen so far. I know there's other ones out there that's been out, and I know people will use like Backbone and all that stuff to connect it to their phones. And the reason why I enjoy this is because this was built just a game. It comes with the Razer Kishi V2 Pro. And it comes like this device. It's not a phone. I can see that as more as like a tablet, but it has a face camera where you could also stream your gameplay on YouTube or Twitch and Facebook and everything. It's already built in there. But yeah, the gaming handle device overall is so good. I was like, all right, let me go outside. Let me go to places, which I'm also going to take this when I go to my trip or DICE. I just want to experience xCloud and GeForce Now, just strictly 5G, just using this, no Wi-Fi or anything like that. And bro, it looks fantastic. I was playing. The only difference between the two is GeForce Now is full screen. xCloud is not, but I still had a great time playing these games on the go, especially I was playing Cyberpunk 2077, and it looked great. I played great, no lag or anything like that, and I was doing that for like a good hour or so on the go, nonstop. And I also tried it inside of my house, which the reception is a little bit lower because of the area that we live, and so I played great experience overall. So I think people that want to continue playing games on the go and they don't have to worry about like, oh man, I'm going to get a call in the middle of my game, this is the device for you. Cause you can still play, you know, your Android games, which I played a couple, and a lot of the cloud games in there, that I've been trying out for a while now too. So from the Android one, the Android games I've been playing, I tried out some Epic Games content like Fortnite. I tried that out. I tried the S-Cloud, the cloud version, and also the app version that's installed there. It looks good. Call of Duty and a couple other ones, and this is great, man. Really, really great. I think that people are going to be asking questions of like, how can I get the Razer Kishi V2 Pro just that? I heard rumors that Razer are planning to sell this separately in the future, but as of right now, this is just an exclusive for the handheld device. And the screen looks really, really good. The only negative thing that I have to say, that similar to the issue that I have with the Steam Deck, the fan could get a little bit loud depending on what you're playing. So if you play an app game, so an Android game that you just install and everything from the device, you're going to hear the fan. And it could get a little bit annoying here and there, right? But if you play games like, you know, cloud gaming, GeForce Now, S-Cloud, you're going to be fine. You're not going to hear that as much compared to that. So that's the only negative. And I think Right now, I have the service. I don't know for how long to try it out from Verizon. But yeah, you could, you know, try this out and pay monthly. And yeah, I think it's great. I think people are going to love this at all, man. And shout out to Razer for giving me the opportunity. I've been playing this nonstop, man. I actually went to a Capcom event, Capcom Cup, yesterday, and I took the device with me. I just wanted to see how it is, like, in an area where it's very, very active. There's a lot of people around and everything, and just to see, and, yo, it plays great. It plays really, really good.
So. No, it's great to hear. One question out of something that you said, because you mentioned GeForce Now, it plays full screen, but then xCloud wasn't. Is the screen dimensions, is it 16 by 9, or do you know?
I don't know the dimensions, but I know that I think because of the upgrade where GeForce Now has been doing that for like the past couple months or so, I think that's the reason, Paris, where the screen, the dimensions is more higher than the cloud, than xCloud overall. So for example, I was like, oh, let me just play Doom Eternal or Hi-Fi Rush. I noticed the dimensions a lot smaller in the xCloud. But playing like a game like Cyberpunk and other GeForce Now games, it was fine. I was like, oh man, this is full screen. This is awesome. Like, I took a picture of me playing Cyberpunk and I just put it online. And other people were like, oh man, this is really cool. I'm like, yeah, it looks really good. It felt like I was actually playing a game that I downloaded on my device.
Yeah.
Now, if this is something where it's going to replace my Steam Deck, no, I don't see that at all. But sometimes I just want to carry, you know, my Steam Deck. Let me just play something that is easy for me to carry on my pocket, whatever. Let me just connect it and just play. And it is fine. And you could also play those games on GeForce Now. You could do touch controllers and everything like that. I mean, for those that are into it. But for me, I think it's better with just a controller overall. Mm-hmm. And now people are going to ask me, Danny, how different is this and the Logitech handheld that came out a couple months back? And honestly, I still prefer this one. I felt like the Logitech, there's a couple things I didn't like. Just the UI, the dashboard looked kind of weird. There was like notifications there separate from the Android display. It was just weird, like the layout on that one. And the controller, it felt, the device is big, but it felt kind of cheap, I believe, you know, with that. And it doesn't feel like I'm holding a handheld device because of the weight. It was very, very light. With this one, it feels like, oh man, I'm having a handheld device here, similar to like Steam Deck and the Switch. Again, this device is not going to replace the Switch or my Steam Deck. But sometimes I just want to play cloud gaming and I just want to, you know, play those on the go. And here's the difference that this device has that no other device has, is that 5G part. You know, right. I think the last time we got to see something like that was it the Vita or the PSP? I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the Vita. It had the AT&T exclusive in there. Was it the Vita? Paris, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was the Vita, AT&T.
Mm-hmm. AT&T, yeah. But I feel like during that time, it was like that device was ahead of its time, I think. People were not ready for something like that. They'd rather just get the Wi-Fi and just play that at home or other places that have Wi-Fi. And I think now with, you know, it's been years since that happened. I think this is good. You know, I wish we had something like that for the other devices, because sometimes you just want to play on the go. You know, people travel, you know, and sometimes sometimes you probably can't connect to a Wi-Fi area. You know, let's say for an airport, maybe the Wi-Fi is down. How else are you going to play? You know, and I think by having a 5G internet device, it helps that, you know, for me and other people probably. So
right.
That's it. Yeah. Battery lasts a long time, by the way. If you played, the cloud version is going to last a lot longer. If you play a game that's you download it to the device, it's going to take more battery, of course. But so far, it lasts a very long time, I think, in my opinion.
Right. So,
yeah. Well. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So before we wrap it up, I'm going to play this interview that I recorded during Capcom Cup here in Los Angeles. I was there thanks to Camp Comp for inviting me. It was really cool seeing the community there. There was just tournaments all week long from people from around the world. Shout out to Mena from Dominican Republic. He's in the finals. Shout out to him. Hopefully he wins by the time this podcast comes out. But yeah, I was there and I talked to the one of the team members that worked on Street Fighter VI. I had Jackie. She's part of Capcom. She was on GTR. We sat down last year during Summer Game Fest when Street Fighter VI was announced.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down with her on this episode just to see, like, how's it been since the last time I had her, all the new stuff that they've been adding in, all the announcements, and just the experience of, you know, seeing the community not only talking about the game, but experience the game at home and stuff like that with the beta. We talk about all this stuff. So I'm going to play this right now, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me here. I'm Jackie, Senior Brand Manager at Capcom USA, and I'm representing Street Fighter. And today we're going to talk about Street Fighter VI.
Yeah, Jackie, the last time I saw you was Summer Game Fest.
Yes.
Lots of changes since the last conversation, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But first, I remember when I'm going to bring this back, when the game was announced during Summer Game Fest. Mm-hmm. Man, a lot of the fans very excited. People were very surprised about the announcement. How was it? You know, that experience during that time at Summer Game Fest.
You know, it was so well received. I mean, Street Fighter VI, we wanted to, you know, come out and we wanted to set this new gold standard for fighting games. And in addition to that, we wanted to go really big with this title by, you know, instead of just showcasing just what you would, I think, typically think of for a fighting game, we wanted to really show what that definition of six was. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just showed our cards. We showed the three pillars. We had World Tour mode, a little bit of Battle Hub, a little bit of Fighting Grounds, and people were like losing their minds. They were like, hold on, is this really a fighting game? What is this? And not only that, but it was not only so much interest from that, you know, from our hardcore fans who have been playing with us in Street Fighter 2. Mm-hmm. But then there was just so many, like, people that were like, I've never played a fighting game before, but I just want to keep playing. Because we were able to also have that hands-on experience at that time, mm-hmm. too. So it's definitely been a ride.
Yeah. No, and I remember trying out the game, and I felt like this is, like, the perfect game for the hardcore, right? But also for those, like, the casual, you know, never play Street Fighter, they will get into it easy, because I got a couple people to play it too during their event, and they were like, man, I'm not into fighting games, but I felt like I was pretty good in the game, you know. So that's awesome that you guys made it accessible for those kind of fans too, right?
And you exactly said it, we wanted to make it accessible. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to take anything away, we just wanted to add to it. So having that inclusion of modern control schemes doesn't mean the classics take away, you know. Mm-hmm. We know that there are people that have that muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And that will not go away. And so being able to invite your friend to play a fighting game along with you, even if it's their first time, mm-hmm. and having them kind of build up for their preference, whether they go into casual control schemes, modern, or even dynamic, is just really exciting. So we're glad to kind of set foot that, like, newer middle ground then that brings in more of that accessibility.
You know, so a couple of weeks back, I was watching Royal Rumble.
Yes.
I was very surprised about the announcement. You want to talk about
it? I'm so glad you were surprised. I was actually in the crowd.
Oh, you were there? Oh,
yes.
By the way, I love wrestling, by the way. So yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. A lot. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like, we know there's just that crossover affinity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we've worked with, like, AEW before. You know, we've had cross collaborations with them. And having now, like, Thea. I mean, Zelina Vega.
She's
come
awesome.
On.
She's awesome.
Oh, it's in the name.
Yeah, she's also from the Northeast, Jersey, New York represent.
Okay,
yeah.
I think you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm from there too. So. Yeah. So, yeah, I was very surprised seeing that. I was like, wow, okay, so she's also part of the commentary, right?
That is correct. She was our recently announced in-game commentator. And I think a lot of people were really surprised for multiple ways. Because one, you know, we announced that feature back in, you know, announcement, Summer Games Fest, when mm-hmm. we talked. Mm-hmm. And we had, you know, at the time, Vicious. And then we led it into, you know, James Chen and Tasty Steve back at Evo. And I think people were thinking, okay, esports commentators, people I recognize within the FGC, this is great. Mm-hmm. And I think it just threw them off that we went above and beyond, and we're like, let's bring in her. And what I love is, you know, she's known for her cosplays, right? Mm-hmm. And funny enough, it was actually Evo timing when we revealed Jury and Kimberly, and I get this call, and I'm like, who is this? Mm-hmm. So she's like, hi, it's me. And, you know, she's like, I just saw the trailer on Evo. And, you know, we were kind of already working, you know, in the background to, you know, get her VO included into the game. Mm-hmm. But when she saw, you know, the character announcement for Jury, she's like, I want to be her. I want to go mm-hmm. out into the stage as Jury. Can mm-hmm. I do that? And I'm like, so for us as a team, we're like, let's see how we can make that happen. You know, our development team was super supportive on, you know, seeing how we can get her those, you know, inspirational assets for her to have the detail of that costume.
Oh, she was really on point.
Oh, she carried that whole activation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell she just is a fan, not only from the devil and the details from her costume, but mm-hmm. she actually implemented some of the, you know, critical arts that Jury had in that trailer into her actual performance. And that was what, I mean, she crushed it.
Yeah. So I have a request, and hopefully you can send this to the whole Camp Crom team, but I think you guys should get Snoop Dogg as a commentator. You know. And the reason is he's awesome as a commentator, just like sports overall. He's really, really funny. But also, I feel like a lot of the hip hop fans are also Street Fighter fans too. A lot of artists talk about Street Fighter in their songs. I remember one time I was in one of the E3s and I saw Wu-Tang or Raekwon coming out of the Capcom booth also playing Street Fighter. I was like, oh man, this is pretty cool, man. So I would love, hopefully you guys could add some like artists in there to be part of the commentary thing, you know? So
I mean, yeah, there's just so much overlap into mm-hmm. different kinds of, you know, communities, and sky's the limit.
Yeah,
you know? And so everyone was surprised when we announced her, and you know, hopefully there'll be more in the future. So we're really looking forward to it, and
hopefully one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what has been like the new things that you guys been adding into the game since last year?
Yeah, since Summer Game Fest. I mean, wow. Like I said, we opened up some of those newer rosters for the in-game commentators. Mm-hmm. We've been rolling out all of the newer characters, as well as welcoming back some of those fan favorites within the roster. You know, so bringing in Blanca, DJ,
you know,
Guile. Everyone's been really excited.
Guile was pretty awesome,
yes,
too. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, there are people that are like, oh, has there been like challenges? How are people receiving some of the new characters? And I'm telling you, it's just, so far, it's just been so amazing. Mm-hmm. The amount of positive sentiment we've been getting. It's, you know, you're seeing fan art with like crossovers between legacy characters and the fresh blood that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And then you're also just getting we're always just delighted by all the, reception we're receiving, whether it's with Kimberly, also a newcomer that was announced at the same time as Jury. Mm-hmm. Just as exciting to see that live at the Evo Finals. But then even in, Game Awards, we actually announced DJ, which everyone was like, he's back.
Oh, we're I was there too at the I was there, yeah.
And then just when you thought that was done, we were like, okay, he was, you know, we knew that was going to be such an exciting reveal. But mm-hmm. then Marissa, wow.
Yeah.
You know, Marissa and Manon definitely took the social media by storm. And they even have their own little communities of fandoms that are starting to cultivate, mm-hmm. you know, behind, you know, these newer characters. So we're really excited. So with that, you know, some of those additional features, it's been, you know, great kind of like rolling that out throughout, you know, since June.
Wow. Yeah. And also temporary
beta.
And a lot of positive feedback about that too.
You know?
So yeah, that's really cool.
You're right. There was some positive sentiment, you know, we just want to get the experience right, mm-hmm. you know? And so we had two closed betas. And they all took place in our battle hub. People loved creating their own avatars. Mm-hmm. And we got to see some very creative creations if you go online.
That's cool.
But it's been great that people are not only enjoying the overall experience of the features, but also, like I said, it's also, you know, attuned to those core fighting fans as well. They're mm-hmm. seeing those devil in the details, where that isn't taken away just because we want to broaden our reach to that casual audience. audience as well.
Yeah, and who's your favorite character so far from the ones that has been announced personally? As a fan.
Oh my gosh.
I know it's a lot.
I'd have to say Kimberly. And Kimberly, okay. It's because, you know, mm-hmm. I remember I think Street Fighter 4, I was actually, I'm aging myself right now. I'm dating myself, but I was back in college mm-hmm. and there was this, FGC event called Final Round, and that's in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I was in college in Georgia. And so I actually went with my friends because they were huge Street Fighter players. Mm-hmm. And C Viper was out. I thought she was the coolest character ever. Mm-hmm. But what I remembered was the group I was with, I had friends that remind me so much like Kimberly. Down to earth, loved hip hop, you know, kind of had their own style on things, you know, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. had that same swagger and attitude. And I was like, I felt like for me, Kimberly is like my friend. You know, she reminds me of that time I had, mm-hmm. you know, and that started with kind of my affinity for Street Fighter.
Do you see yourself playing like online, or you're like more like, I play local with my friends, you know, because sometimes that's the thing. Sometimes people, when they play a game like that, they probably will get like super afraid because there's a lot of pros out there online that probably they will get destroyed, you know. Is that something for you? Like personally for you, you feel like you play a single player or like offline?
You know
instead?
What's cool was, you know, for me, like, yeah, I think for the fighting experience 1v1, mm-hmm. I would play with my friends. I'd play co-op. I'd, you know, beat my brother's ass, right? Yeah. But, you know, my mm-hmm. but in terms of online, mm-hmm. that online community with Battle Hub, like that's where I get really excited about, you know, because there's just so many things you can do, not just like online ranked match, and that's super intimidating, right? Like, oh my mm-hmm. gosh, I'm gonna get wrecked. But it's more of like, oh, I can actually play like throwback games in the arcade centers. I can actually like join mm-hmm. a community club. I can even do like, you know, little like selfies in the photo booth and stuff, and really actually hang out with my friends virtually. And that makes that way less intimidating.
Yeah, that's really cool. So your thoughts about the CamCom Cup, like, you know, seeing the fans here, very exciting, screaming for their favorite players. You know,
oh my gosh. I mean, we haven't had a Capcom Cup since pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. you know?
It feels good having an in-person.
Yeah, that in-person, yeah. You know? Definitely. And I think the fans have been waiting for that, you know, with mm-hmm. that kind of, and it's even started since last year, that slow like comeback to like FGC events. But I'm feeling a different energy. I'm feeling finally, you know, we mm-hmm. can see our friends again. We can be there as part of the action. And, you know, it's exciting to see, especially this weekend, the finals. Mm-hmm. Some really top tier talent, some upsets, but you know, it's not over yet, but mm-hmm. you know, really excited to be here.
Yeah, and it's cool to see the fans that could also play Street Fighter 6. It's like a long line outside, you know, people wanted to play the demos and everything. It's pretty cool seeing that too,
you know. And I the builds that we have are like, you know, since Tokyo Game Show, and I'm just like, are they bored? No, not at all.
No, they're at all. I don't see them stopping anytime
like,
soon.
Can I just keep playing? Can yeah. I keep, please? So
yeah. That's awesome. So what advice would you give for those that never play Street Fighter and this is going to be like the first time playing Street Fighter 6 for them?
You know, just try. You don't have to prep. That's the best part, you know? And mm-hmm. and I think we showed that as an example back in Summer Game Fest. There were multiple people that were like, I have never, you know, even tried my hand at a fighting game before. I'd just be so intimidated because mm-hmm. there is still those intricacies and technicalities and people that appreciate that at Capcom Cup here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that lowered barrier to where it's just like, just try, just play. You're going to enjoy it. I promise.
Awesome. So what the release date for the
June
game?
2nd.
A couple months away.
Yep. Yeah. PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. We are welcoming back that family this time around.
Yeah, I can't wait. But thanks for the opportunity to interview. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks to, again, Jackie, Capcom, the whole team. Also, PlayStation for sending us a VR2. And shout out to Razer for sending me the Razer Edge 5G. Again,
Love this advice. I don't see me stopping using this at all. It's really, really awesome, man. Love this advice so much. So we're going to wrap it up here. Anything else, Paris, from you before we wrap this up?
No, I think that's it. Obviously, you and I will see each other later today, and then we'll see each other in Las Vegas. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, Dice is going to be fun. It's going to be our first time together because I went last year. You weren't there. So that's going to be fun. Plus, we're going to have a lot of mutual friends there at the event. So I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. So guys, stay tuned. I am planning on working a couple of interviews that I plan to record during Dice and also after Dice that I think going to surprise a lot of people. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to wrap it up. Until next time, thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Episode 1245. This is Danny in Paris. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.